Right on. Well, after 9 long years, I finally gave up. Our family got a cat this week, a little kitten by the name of Coconut. All right, I didn't name it. My kids did, but we got a picture of Coconut right there. You can't really see because it's kind of, you know, pinked out with the bulb that we've got on the projector, but. He's got big blue eyes, so you know right after he's done destroying the house, he just looks at you with those things, and you can't help but love him. You know, just as I feared, I knew that if we got a cat, that I would be its person. That's just kind of the way that it goes, right? Like the dad holds out forever and ever and ever, and finally they get a pet, and then the two become best friends. Usually that's the story with a dog, but in this case, it's the story with a cat. And we've really bonded. I'm kind of his refuge from just the overwhelming amount of love that my children give our cat. In fact, the other day when I woke up, I overheard my daughter Loveland, who's 5, singing this song, and I'm going to do my best to sing it in the tone and the way in which she sang it, okay? And it went a little bit something like this. Coconut, I love you. Don't run away from me. I'm your friend. You know, such a moving song. You know, to be honest, though, I'm really more of a cat person than a dog person. Some people really hate cats because they think that they're snobs who act like they own the house and they just thrive on chaos. Well, those just happen to be all of the reasons that I love cats. You know, there's no other animal that will really look at you dead in the eyes with the level of spite that a cat can while it just, like, slowly pushes a water glass off the table, right? Like a full glass of water. For no other reason than just that they can. But being a kitten, Coconut has what is called the zoomies. And if you're a pet person, you know that that's when a cat goes like this all throughout the house, you know, from one side to the other, up the couches, down the couches, up the curtains, does a couple backflips, bites your toes, and does it all over again, right? And Melanie has never had a pet before, my wife. And so it's hilarious watching her yell at the cat. She's like, "No, Coconut. Don't do that. Bad Coconut," right? Like, as if a cat has ever listened to its owner in the long history of cats being owned. But unlike our futile attempts to give direction to Coconuts, that's for you, Al, when God speaks, all creation and science follow the sound of his voice. You're like, wow, I did not see that segue coming right there, right? When God speaks, all creation and science follow the sound of his voice. Last week, we began a new series, The Gospel According to Genesis. We talked about how in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, about how our story really begins with God's story. And instead of trying to create ourselves, to create our own story, we need to allow God to create us. The big idea for my message today is this: when God speaks, he creates something from nothing. When God speaks, he creates something from nothing. If you want to say that in the original, well, not in the original, in Latin, it's creatio ex nihilo. Just drop that at your next dinner party and you'll look really smart. Right? Something from nothing. And so we're going to pick up on the creation narrative where we left off. We made so much ground last week. We made it through the first verse. This week, we're going to start on verse 2. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along, or you can just follow along on the screen. If you don't, that's okay. But we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. And I'm just going to throw verse 1 in for free. Here we go. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, making the first day." See, when God spoke, he created something from nothing. In these few verses, we get a picture of just this chaotic nothingness. There's this darkness, there's this blackness, there's this picture of a sea that's surging and the waves are crashing. We see nothing but chaos and emptiness and darkness. But in that darkness, in that chaos, in that emptiness, the Spirit of God is there. And he's just hovering over the waters. Theologian Derek Kidner, who I quoted from last week, he writes this. In the Old Testament, the Spirit is a term for God's outgoing energy, creative and sustaining. I love that so much. It's like the narrative is disrupted just for a second, and it's on pause, and there's this moment of expectation, of bated breath, as we're just waiting. What is the Spirit of God going to do? What is God going to do? The Spirit's hovering. It's just you're waiting for what happens next. And then God speaks, and light shatters darkness. See, chaos and emptiness and darkness, they don't really exist in and of themselves, do they? They're the absence of something. They're the absence of creation. Chaos is the absence of order. Emptiness is the absence of fullness, and darkness, the absence of light. And when we attempt to create anything, we need something to create with. We need basic building blocks, right? We need matter, maybe living cells, time, space, Lego bricks, whatever it is. We need something to build with. Only God can create something from nothing. And this is both true of creation, the physical side of our lives, but it's also true spiritually. And the two are more intertwined than you may believe. And God has the power to speak into your life something where there was nothing. He has the power to speak into your life something that wasn't there before. Courage, love, patience, joy, peace, compassion, goodness, all of these things. Because when God speaks, everything changes. And when we look at these next few verses, we see, first of all, that God brings order from chaos. If you're taking notes, that's our first point for today is God brings order from chaos. Can I just say that teachers are amazing? I've been teaching is a hard job any year, let alone during COVID, right? But they've adapted so well. My kids are both back in school. My daughter's in kindergarten, and my son's in grade two. And they're just loving life. They're loving school. Things are going well. But I'm just in awe of kindergarten teachers, especially. Like, I don't know how they do it. They have a room full of five-year-olds, and they're sitting attentively. They're sitting down. And more than that, when they go somewhere, they line them up, and they walk in a line. Like, how does that happen? How do they bring order there? You know, when I'm at home, and Mel's out at the grocery store, and I'm watching the kids, it's kind of like a daddy daycare sort of situation, if you've ever seen that movie. Like, it's chaotic, right? So their ability to bring order is awe-inspiring. And God's first act of creation was to create order where there was chaos. If we look at verse 2 again, we read, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." In the Bible, the sea is often used to encapsulate chaos or evil. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, "There was no more sea," and it was used to describe God's presence being with his people. That when God's presence is with us, chaos dissipates. There's no more sea. But that's not all that this verse is alluding to. This verse is also subverts ancient religions at that time. See, a very common ancient Near Eastern creation narrative would tell the story of the enemy of order being like an unruly sea, this chaotic sea that comes into conflict, and there's this big conflict that happens, and then usually the warrior god ends up being victorious. And so the author of Genesis, Moses, he understood that was kind of the beliefs going around at this time. And so what's unique about the Hebrew, or by extension, the Christian creation narrative is this. It's the effortlessness in which God brings order to chaos. See, there's no conflict, only victory. See, we see the Spirit of God was hovering. No combat, no battle, no struggle. In fact, in Deuteronomy 32:11, we get kind of this picture of hovering. There's this eagle that is hovering over its young, just like God is hovering over the nation of Israel. It's this idea of protection, of bringing life and nurturing. It's far from a battle. The Spirit hovers effortlessly over the chaos. And in three short words, God speaks and light shatters the darkness. And the very next thing that we see is that God separates the light and the darkness. God creates order out of chaos. You know, we live in confusing and chaotic times, don't we? You know, there was a time where a certain degree of accuracy, you could kind of make plans for the future, right? You could be like, I'm going on summer vacation here, and you could do that, right? Not so with 2020. Right, we live in a time that is confusing, it's chaotic, that we've got the coronavirus, there's political unrest, there's conflict everywhere we look, and it's just impossible to know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And in one sense, this level of chaos isn't really new. All of us deal with inner conflict. We all deal with inner confusion. And this is often spiritual. There's a reason that so many people just throw up their hands and settle for agnosticism, just the belief that God's out there, but who knows? Because they're confused, right? And even as followers of Jesus, we also have conflict within us as well between doing the right thing and the wrong thing, between following God's kingdom plan for our lives and giving into temptation. And so there's this struggle that happens within us as well. And my encouragement to you this morning is, when you are caught in the midst of chaos, when it feels like you're swallowed up in a sea of confusion, I want you to know that God is there. In fact, as a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit isn't even just hovering over your situation. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is actually within us, guiding us, directing us, bringing order to where there is chaos. And if God can bring order to chaos in creation, he can bring order to the chaos in your life as well. The second thing that we see is God brings fullness from emptiness. Fullness from emptiness. There's this theme in the creation narrative, from formless to form and from emptiness to fullness. I want you just to check out this graphic here. So on one side, I know it's kind of hard to see, we're getting a new bulb for our projector, it's on order, but just bear with us. On one side we see form, and on day one God creates light and darkness. In day two, the sea and the sky, and day three, land and plants. But then in the second half of creation, he then takes the form of creation and he fills it. So in day four, he creates the lights of day and night. He creates the cosmos, the planets, the stars, the moon. In day five, it's fish and birds that fill the sea and the sky. In day six, animals and humans fill the land. And so there's this beautiful poetic expression of God bringing form and fullness to emptiness. And in the same way, God wants to bring you from emptiness to fullness, to create in you something where there was nothing. See, if God can fill creation, he can fill the emptiness in your soul. You see, the people of Israel had a longing. And if you read the Pentateuch, and if you remember from last week, the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. It's actually one big book or a five-part series, whatever helps you wrap your head around that. And there's this trajectory in the Pentateuch of Israel inhabiting the land that God had promised them. God had promised them the promised land. And there's this trajectory. And so God creating the earth is so important. And so when a Jewish person would read this, there would be this longing, this unrest in their heart to fill the land that was laying empty waiting for them. And by extension, us as followers of Jesus, when we read this, there's the same longing that comes up for us to be at home with Jesus, for the new creation, for God to fill the earth with his presence. And in a very real way, God can do that to you right now, internally, right? There's each and every single one of us has a God-shaped hole in our heart, an emptiness that only He can fill. And God wants to fill that emptiness with Himself, with His love, His joy, His peace, His courage, His endurance, His life. When He speaks, God creates fullness from emptiness. The third thing that we see is that God brings light from darkness. Light from darkness. John Dalehammer, he's another theologian, he writes this. Just as the light of the sun broke in upon the primeval darkness, heralding the dawn of God's first blessing, so also the prophets and the apostles mark the beginning of the new age of salvation with the light that shatters darkness. Don't you just love that? Isn't that powerful? The light shatters the darkness. You know, when I think about light shattering darkness, I can't help but think of Lord of the Rings. And if you've watched the films, there's this epic scene in the Two Towers where the good guys are trapped in this stronghold called Helm's Deep. And the powers of darkness are coming up against the fortress, and they're just about to break into the keep, and all hope is lost. And in a final stand, the king decides to gather what few men he has left, and they're going to ride out and face the darkness head on, make one final glorious stand. And as they do that, as they ride out of the corner, we see this Gandalf the White. And if you're familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien's works, Gandalf in many ways is a Christ figure in his works. And Gandalf the White is up there, and behind him is this huge army, the Riders of Rohan. And as he descends in on the armies of darkness, dawn breaks up over the hill. And the light just completely blinds the powers of darkness so they can't see. And Gandalf and the Riders of Rohan, they just shatter the defenses of darkness. And it's this kind of imagery where it may feel like all hope is lost. It may feel like you're stuck in this dark place. But Jesus, He comes through and He shatters the darkness. In 1 John 1:5, it says this: "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all." No darkness in Him at all. So if you feel like hope is lost, I want you to know that Jesus came to save you from spiritual darkness. Jesus came to save us from our emptiness and from our confusion and to fill us with His peace, with His fullness, and with His light. You see, while the author Moses no doubt goes out of his way to use imagery to express the creation narrative, to really express the life-giving power of God, of sin against darkness, it's vital to remember this, that God did not defeat sin and death in creation. He defeated the power of darkness through Jesus' death and resurrection. See, if you remember from last week, Jesus is the Word. The true Word, the Word that was there at creation, fully present in creation, came to earth to save us. Just listen to how the author of the book of Hebrews puts it. "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." See, God has spoken to us through His Son. God has spoken to us through Jesus. And when God speaks, everything changes. When God sent the living Word, everything changed. God can create something out of nothing. And so this morning, I want to leave you with this question. If God can create the world out of nothing. Is it really too much to believe that God can create something new in you? God can create something new in you. Pastor Alexis, you want to come on up? Friends, as we began with last week, you need a better story. We need a better story. And I'm here to tell you the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is it not only a better story, but it's a true and better story. Story of how God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we could have life and life in all of its fullness. I want to conclude our time together by reading you a part of a song. Hillsong, probably many of you are familiar with them. We sing some of their songs. They wrote a song called So Will I. And it's quite a long song, so I'm just going to read a portion of it to you. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made, every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything that you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways, every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Friends, if there's anywhere that the creation story should lead us, it's to worship, the reason we were created. And so I'm going to say a prayer with you, and then I'm going to challenge you to stand, and we're going to worship God before we leave this place. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you sent Jesus, the true living word, that you have spoken to us through Jesus, and because of that, we may have life and life in all its fullness. And God, just as creation follows the sound of your voice, so will I, so will we. And so, Jesus, we want to commit ourselves to you, not just this day, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen.